Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you through their stories, life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Welcome to another wonderful program in the award-winning series of Listen to Older Voices. This is part one of a four-part Baby Boomer special feature on the life and times of John Arthur Grant. Born in Canberra, ACT in 1953, his family had been in that area as early settlers even prior to the city of Canberra being built. His parents separated when John was a young boy, and so his mother was largely responsible for bringing him up. Around the age of three, he and his mother moved to Melbourne, and being so young, John adapted to the move effortlessly. Music would become a major part of John's life, and it was no wonder, as music, particularly piano-based music, was a feature of their life, and all the children in the family learned to play in a classical style. John becomes an accomplished pianist and seems destined for a life as a concert pianist, but during his formative years, popular music begins to be a feature of most young people's lives in the late 50s and through into the 60s, and John is not exempt. While in high school, he forms his first band and was determined that popular music would be his chosen career, despite both his mother and piano teacher having expectations that he'd become a concert pianist. So without much more of ado, let's hear John's story from his own mouth. All right, John, first of all, thank you for inviting me into your home, or should I say your studio. Can I start by asking you, when were you born and whereabouts were you born?
John Arthur Grant. I like to use the middle name Arthur a lot of the time these days to distinguish myself from other John Grants around the world and in the music industry. I was born in 12th of May 1953 in Canberra, ACT.
Canberra in that period of time would have been pretty small and almost desolate, wasn't it? Why were your parents in Canberra?
Why was I born in Canberra?
Why were your parents in Canberra?
My mother's family had been in the area for many years before Canberra was thought of, from the 1870s, 1880s.
Oh, right, so the original settlers almost.
In the town of Queanbeyan. Well, no, town people, country townsfolk from Queanbeyan, the town just outside of Canberra. In New South Wales, they were there for a couple of generations before my mother was born. So they were locals before Canberra came along. My father, born in Poland, and came to Australia after the war, somehow or other ended up in Canberra, where he met my mum.
There's a bit of a story there. Pity we can't ask him.
It is a pity. Yes.
Yes. So what would be your earliest memories of that life?
I was only there till the age of three when the marriage broke up and my mum and grandma came to Melbourne. And I do have some memories of Canberra, but just things around the house being... driving with my mother, father in singing me to bed beside the bed at night, things like that. My cousin coming to visit, just general family things. And I remember coming to Melbourne. I remember some things from when we first came to Melbourne, 1956.
What do you recall?
I remember staying in people's houses for a few weeks or perhaps a couple of months. I remember the first time my mother and I went to look at the house that we subsequently lived in for years in Rosanna, out past Heidelberg. I remember getting in the old bus that sort of bounced along the sealed and unsealed roads that were out there. Rosanna was an outer suburb at the time, and we lived on an unsealed road out there for quite a few years.
Was it a good life for a young boy out there?
It was okay, yeah.
Did you have, I mean, was it that rural in its beginnings that you didn't have many friends, or were there lots of kids around?
In Rosanna?
Yeah.
There were this short street that we lived in, Dobson Avenue. There, when we first moved in, there were eight or nine houses, and within 5 or 6 years it was full of 25 houses. So it was a growing suburb at the time in the 50s.
Right.
And in, especially in the late 50s, there was a local primary school up the top of the hill that I went to.
What was that experience like?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. I had friends in the neighbourhood. I had friends at school. It was okay.
Did you enjoy going to school?
I think I did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I did well at school. I did well both at primary school and later in high school.
The period in which you were born into, things like television were just very new, but radio was a key part of most families' lives. Was that the case in your life?
Yes, radio was there from, I remember that in Rosanna at an early age. I remember hearing some pop songs, some classical music on radio. We didn't get television till 1964, 65.
Which was quite late.
It was relatively late in the piece, yeah.
Yeah. What was life like, do you think, for your mother in that period? Was it an easy life for her?
No, it was tough because she left my father and my grandmother came to Melbourne. So there was never enough money. She did get some support from my father. My grandmother had the age pension and my mum had a job doing clerical work. And we didn't have a car either. Although she drove in Canberra, she figured that she wouldn't like to handle the heavy traffic that there would have been in Melbourne in 1956. Can you imagine? So she actually stopped driving. We didn't have a car until the late 60s. It was still a pretty happy childhood.
Yeah.
We weren't... didn't think of ourselves as poor, no, but there wasn't a lot of money around. There wasn't a lot of excess money, but we got by, yeah, for sure.
Kids these days have a lot of things to basically entertain them via screens mostly now.
Yes.
But back in the 50s and even for yourself into the early 60s, there were none of that. So what did kids in your generation do to entertain themselves? What did you do?
Oh, well, we went and played in the backyard or played around the streets because you could go out to your mate's place and ride your bikes around when I got a bike. But my mother and grandmother came from the generation where a piano in the living room was the home entertainment system. And in their family, everyone learnt to play the piano.
Did that include yourself?
Yes, most definitely. And my brother and sister, everyone in my mother's family, my mother played piano and her sisters had played piano. My aunt had taken it a little further and became a teacher of piano and music theory in Queen Bian.
Right.
And my grandmother played the piano too and subsequently started teaching me and became a piano teacher quite late in life herself. So came from a family of where it wasn't expected that you would become professional, but it was expected that you would at least learn some music.
A little bit like enriching your life rather than it being a career possibility.
Yes. They knew that was a possibility because, as I said, my mum's sister had become professional as a music teacher. So she took it a step further.
When your mum taught you, was she teaching you in what I might call the classical style with scales and things like this, or was it learning to play the actual pieces?
No, she had a very traditional start of learning classical style pieces from the books that were available then.
Did you find that dry or did you take to it?
No, I took to it straight away. I remember her asking me, this is my grandmother actually, and I remember her asking me if I'd like to learn, and I jumped at it. My brother was already going to the a teacher down the road. I'd heard music, obviously. I'd heard my both my mother and my grandmother playing music at church as well. Okay. I heard them play hymns quite a lot, and I heard that every Sunday, and that was part of my early musical education. And so at the age of seven or something, when my grandmother asked me if I wanted to learn, I jumped at it, yes.
Mm.
She fairly soon after, about a year, I think, realised that she couldn't really perhaps... I'd learned quite quickly, so she decided she couldn't really perhaps keep up with me, and sent me to the piano teacher down the road, who had been a concert pianist, Winifred O'Donnell, and that gave me a whole new level of classical music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is Listen to Older Voices, Ageless Stories on Ageless Radio.
I'm Rob Greaves, and I'm talking with John Arthur Grant.
The period in which you're growing up, that is, becoming a teenager and moving into secondary school, is also a period of great change in Australia, that early 60s to mid-60s period. Let's look at the school first, but then I'd like to come back to the changes around you. Did you move from primary school to secondary school pretty easily?
Yes, I recall having a little bit of a hard time the first year of high school, because most of my friends in year six at primary school went on to other schools. I didn't have many friends at the new high school. I found myself in a much larger school, of course. Found myself in a form where I didn't know anyone.
Wow.
So I had a little bit of a tough time that year, but I grew into it, I suppose, and I ended up doing well. Yeah.
What were your favourite subjects at secondary school?
English, history, geography, maths. I did well at maths. I didn't mind doing that.
Did they teach you music at secondary school?
Most of my music education was by my piano teacher in that year. We did have music lessons, yes.
How did you find that, given that you came from a family that was really quite steeped in music and you're learning music from a classical pianist, basically? Did you find the classes at high school were below your level, or...? Did they supplement?
It was different. They weren't really... I didn't learn to play piano there. These were group music classes. So, you know, they play you a piece of music and talk about it.
Discuss it.
Or something.
Yes.
You know? So it was different. It wasn't... It was supplementary to my piano lessons and my other self-education via the radio. We had a music teacher at high school called Bruce McNichol, and he was a folk singer. It was part of the burgeoning folk music scene in the mid 60s. He brought Margaret Roadknight along to give a concert one lunchtime in the music room to a crowd of year 8 and 9 students packed into the room. That was fun. So I don't remember too much about the music lessons okay. at school.
As I said earlier, that period there's also great changes, and musically in Australia there were great changes, because we were fairly isolated musically. I mean, you listen to the radio and you get a smattering of American music, and which was mostly the schmaltz, very little rock and roll. There was some,
yes,
but all of a sudden 60s. There was this tsunami in from 63 onwards that just hit our shores from Britain. And all of a sudden it was happening. Did that have any effect on you?
A huge effect. Around 62, 63, kids in my area were buying crystal sets from the local milk bar. And I bought one for, maybe 10 shillings or something. And I used with a single earpiece, I used to listen to rock and roll radio very heavily from 63, 64 on through that whole explosion of rock music from the the UK and from the States.
Mm.
Like so many thousands of people around the world, the Beatles, especially when they came out here in 64 and they were all over the charts, and the Beatles became an inspiration like thousands of other people. I wanted to join a rock band.
Mm.
I had no idea how that was going to happen or if it ever would, but at the age of 11, I certainly wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. You were too young to maybe even be aware, but certainly too young to have gone to all the discotheques that were opening up in the mid-60s in Melbourne, of which there were quite a few.
But yes.
Do you recall the first time you went to live popular music?
Yes. About the time that I eventually formed my first band, my first high school band in year 11, possibly the year before, but around about that time, I recall a concert at the top of Princes Bridge Station. There was a plaza up there, a flat area across the road from Flinders Street, which was sort of an early city square in a way. And Strauss, the amplifier company, had opened up a shop in the shopping centre directly underneath. They put on a concert, a lunchtime concert, one Saturday with about four or five different bands. I saw the Town Criers, I saw the Valentines with Vince Lovegrove and Bon Scott, and I saw Doug Parkinson in Focus, by which time I'd got the courage to actually come up and stand pretty much beside the stage, and was only a few metres away from the stage. I loved that. About that time, I started going to concerts that were held in My Music Bowl, Melbourne Town Hall. One of them was at the Palais with Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs, later on Daddy Cool, Chain, and Healing Force, I think, once. Yeah.
That's some pretty powerful names there. Mm. They're names that still resonate, 50 years later, we're still talking about them. Did you know at that stage that that's what you wanted to do, to be a musician?
Well, by that stage, it must have been 69, I suppose, 70. And 69, 70 were my year 11 and 12 at high school. And I had formed a band by that stage. A guitarist who happened to be my best friend in year 10, the year before, found out that I played keyboards and said, let's form a band. I said, great, how do we do that? but we eventually did it. I had to cajole and beg my mother to buy a keyboard that would be suitable to play in the band, because you couldn't play a piano. You couldn't drag a piano around or even play a piano in a band if there happened to be one in the hall you were playing at. Yes. Those days had gone. It had to be an electric instrument. So
that must have taken a bit of work.
It took a lot of work, and eventually spent, I think, almost $300 on an ace tone organ. most of the electric instruments that were available in Melbourne at the time were organs, like the Vox and the Farfisa. I happened to get an ace tone. I fell in love with that at Clemens Music Store in Russell Street.
Yes.
And my mum, it wasn't the last time that she supported me in my early rock band in endeavours, but I'm so grateful that she did.
Yes.
Although she would have rather me take a slightly different course in music, I think, than joining rock bands.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
I was wondering how a mum who is so steeped herself in music, but in classical, more conventional music, accepted this move by you into what was pretty much, yeah, not the style of music that most parents wanted at that stage.
That's quite right.
Was that a difficult thing for her and you?
Well, she supported me a lot.
She supported you?
Yeah.
She never tried to talk you out of it?
I suppose she did at first. I'm sure she did. There were times of disappointment. I formed that first high school band, which went through high school, but it was, we never made any real money. It was 5 or 6 years before, 7 years maybe before I was in a band that made any sort of subsistence income, and probably 10 years before I made any sort of a decent income at all on a regular basis.
Well, I'd like to come to that, but rather than jump that 7 or 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned all this is happening during the year 11, year 12 period, which is also when mostly parents and certainly schools are going, what do you want to do?
That's right.
Where are we funneling you into?
Yes.
What was the plan for you?
I was also still going to piano lessons with Winifred O'Donnell, who had been a concert pianist. I had become her star pupil.
Oh, right.
She assumed that I would become a concert pianist. She assumed. She never asked
me. It was just going to happen in her head.
Yeah, it's like, of course you will go to Melbourne University Conservatorium, and of course you will, you know, probably go on, possibly go to Royal College of Music in London, like I did, and study with further people, and that's
here's your life all mapped out.
That's obviously what she will do, or she didn't put it in those terms, but that's I had that clear message from.
Message is still coming through now.
It is still. Yeah. She was a good influence on me in that she was. She taught me a lot about classical piano music, but also about performance, about being on stage. Because I'd with her encouragement, I'd been a contestant in lots of Stedfords around town in the 60s, of which there were quite a few. There's one in Footscray, there was Hartwell, there was Morty Alec, the biggest one was Dandenong, where hundreds of kids would line up in various instruments, or some of them had dancing and all sorts of stuff, and compete. So I did lots of those. I won a few prizes. I remember at Dandenong, it was a big one. There was lots of competition. I remember various times seeing names on the program like Alan Zavod and Alan Kogosowski, who later became a big, he's still a big concert pianist, Leslie Howard, who's a big name in the classical piano world. They were all names I saw at the program in the 60s at Dandenong Town Hall. So I could see a direction there, but I had this other influence of rock music from 1963-64.
Which is powerful.
It was so powerful, and I followed it on the radio, and I bought records, and I didn't want to become a concert pianist. I wanted to join a rock band.
A fair call. Yeah, yeah. That period was also a deep social upheaval happening around us, and given your age, at 1970-71, you would have been 17, 18 years of age.
Mm.
You would have either been just on the border or just about to get caught up in the Vietnam War draft.
Yes.
Did that have an effect on you? Were you aware of all that?
That whole social upheaval definitely did. I started off buying Go Set magazine regularly, which kept me up to date with the rock music world around the world. But following on from that, I remember buying Revolution magazine, which featured articles by Ross Wilson on macrobiotic diets, and but was very much political, a political magazine. And I remember various things at high school that politicised me somewhat. There was some influence by the nearby La Trobe University students.
Yep.
I was well aware that there was a strong culture of demonstrations at Monash University. The big moratorium, the Jim Cairns moratorium, was 1970. That was my year 12 year. I didn't go to it, but I strongly considered going to it. So, yes, though, I was I was becoming politicised in the last couple of years of high school and the first couple of years of Melbourne University.
Do tune in next week for the second part of John's story, which focuses substantially on his musical activities in the 1970s, when he plays with a number of known groups and lesser-known groups, while searching for that elusive success. That's next week, John Arthur Grant, on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.